Good afternoon. It's kind of a tough time to speak to you right after lunch, so I know we just had some really good Mexican food. And being originally from San Antonio and now living in D.C., it really is hard to get good Mexican food in the Virginia, D.C. area. So in the last 24 hours, and Brian's sitting back there from Texas, but we went to the same restaurant to have Mexican food, so that kind of tells you where we've been for the last few days. But let me just kind of tell you, it's glad to be back home in San Antonio. It's always good to be back in Texas. And I'm glad, I'm sure San Antonio is glad that the National Cattlemen came to San Antonio to have their convention. But I'm going to keep my remarks brief, and you all are probably wondering, what is rural development doing at the Cattlemen Convention? But let me start off by probably giving you some background in terms of who is rural development. And I'm just going to ask that question and just see a raise of hands and see what the depth and the breadth of the programs that you understand. What do you think, and how many of you know what rural development does? I'd just like to see a show of hands. You raise your hand if you do know. And that's one reason we're here, is to really to begin to build a dialogue with you, the cattlemen, the commodity groups, and to really educate you in terms of the role we play in rural America. So I'll give you some background, and we'll start there. But let me share with you, as a former banker myself and coming from Texas, you know, I asked that same question when I first came. But as a banker, I think it's one of the key things. When you look at rural development, it's like a bank. And I'll share with you that we have if we were a bank, we'd be one of the largest banks in the country. We'd be about the fourth or fifth largest bank. If you were looking at our balance sheet, we would be about $86 billion in terms of outstanding loans. That's pretty significant in terms of. And we've got a pretty good, a very low loss rate. We've been good managers of the taxpayer dollars. But I'll share with you, let me just start there, but let me share with you in terms of what is our goal in terms of rural America. You know, we increase economic opportunity and we improve the quality of life. Those are the two primary goals we have in terms of rural development. You know, and I use this quite a bit when I travel, but one of the key things and the easiest way to simplify rural development is one of the few federal agencies that can build a community from the ground up. So now I'll kind of describe what I call three program areas to build those communities. We'll start with the infrastructure programs. Anything to do with water, we probably are involved in building infrastructure, whether it's a grant or whether it's a loan. If it's telecommunications, if it's electricity, rural development's probably playing a role in that. If it's distance learning, if it's telemedicine, rural development's probably playing a role in that. And if it's anything to do with broadband deployment, we're probably working with our private sector partners trying to hook up rural America in terms of internet access. And I'm speaking about high-speed internet access. And again, if you ranchers and farmers and small businesses are going to compete domestically and globally, technology has obviously created a new platform in terms of a more competitive economy. Now, let me just share with you, that's just one cadre of programs. As you step into what do you do next and what don't we do in terms of rural development, there's another cadre of programs that really focuses on single, well, I call housing programs. And again, I'll go off a really quick list of programs that we administer: single family housing, multifamily housing, farm labor housing. I know you're going to have Claire speak to you about some immigration issues, but we do farm labor housing. We do fire stations, fire trucks, police stations. You name it, we probably have done something. Libraries, hospitals, in rural communities. Again, it's through these loans and grants that we administer. And then I go to my third set of talking points, or at least my third set of programs. On the business side of the house now, we provide what we call guaranteed programs. You go to a lender, you're trying to secure financing, we provide guarantees, commercial loans, up to $25 million. We'll guarantee up to about 80 or 90% of that loan to that lender. We also have what we call micro loans, small business loans, and we work with what we call intermediary types of lenders. And these could be nonprofits that are out there actually making small loans, maybe up to $100,000. Maybe your credit needs aren't $2 million or $3 million or $25 million. So if you've got a request for about a $50,000 loan request, you're a small business, either expanding or you're a startup business. But that's what the objective of that micro enterprise credit program is all about. And then we've got two new Farm Bill programs. The 2002 Farm Bill program really puts rural development, so to speak, in a position to really work with commodity groups like the cattlemen. And I'll share those two with you. The two specific programs of the Farm Bill, really the 9006 section of the Farm Bill, which is renewable energy. Again, the focus of the president when he developed his energy policy was to look for a more secure form of energy. And that being the natural resources we have in this country, and to be less dependent on other sources or foreign sources of energy. So that's one program that we administer, and that was a provision that was provided for in the 2002 Farm Bill. The other one, which is closely relates to what some of you all are doing, and that's the Value-Added Producer Grant Program. Again, taking a raw commodity, adding value to it, rural development as a result of the 2002 Farm Bill is working with ranchers and farmers and small businesses to create new markets, new market opportunities, and as a result, you have the resources, you have the natural resources at the local level. We've got a program that's helping you be more competitive, whether it be domestically or whether it be globally. That kind of is a snapshot of rural development, and probably the best thing to ask about rural development is, what don't we do as an agency? And you can see the depth and the breadth of this organization. We administer probably over 40 different programs that touch the quality of life in rural communities throughout this country. You know, as we move forward, and the reason we're having this dialogue, it's been something that's been needed for some time now. And as you move forward, and I just share with you over the last 4 years that I've been with the administration, there's been about $50 billion that have been invested in communities that you represent throughout this country. And again, it's infrastructure, again, it's housing, and again, it's small businesses that we've been assisting. In some cases, it's value-added agriculture that we've assisted. In some cases, it's renewable energy. But it's $50 billion, and I can tell you that's between 2001 and 2004. If you rewind to 1996 to 2000, you take that four-year period, you look at these same programs, we were funding probably about $35 to $36 billion. There's been a growth in rural development types of programs, whether it be a guarantee program or grant program, combination of programs, up to about $50 billion. That's about a 30 to 40% increase in that period of time. So you're probably just asking, what does rural development have to offer? And I think the question is, what does rural development not have to offer in terms of how it touches and impacts each one of you that's sitting in this room? And I can tell you, as we create economic opportunity and as we improve the quality of life, because these are your communities. As we see them, these are your communities. We are touching or impacting you somehow in some shape or form. And so it's important as we move forward in the next 4 years that we really understand the dynamics that are occurring across rural America. Now, if you listen to the president, he clearly articulates a vision, and that vision is one of ownership. Whether you own a home or whether you own a business, it really does strengthen you, whether it's financially or whether it strengthens the family just having their own home. You can see the results of a kid or a child having their own home in terms of school and in terms of well-being. So what we're doing is beginning this dialogue in terms of working together, trying to really design programs that really have policy. And don't get me wrong, to have policy that's going to be effective at addressing the future needs of rural America. You know, so I first went to agriculture, and again, I came from this area. My parents had a small ranch just north here on 281 in Blanco, Texas. And they had that for about 20 or 25 years, but I was really educated in this urban city. My parents were really from South Texas, around Eagle Pass, around Maverick County. We gradually migrated back to San Antonio, and then my parents had a ranch. But I could, you know, and I got into banking for quite almost 20 years. I was in banking, and banking mostly in this area. And as we look forward, and I went to agriculture and I sat there, you know, the experience in itself was one that equipped me for this position. I think the experience that I look back the last 20 years, and little did I know that our portfolio was $86 billion. Little did I know what I learned in the last 20-something years would be of some value to the Department of Agriculture, particularly rural development. And as you look at one of the taglines, one of the logos that I remember reading at the Department of Agriculture was something that went like this. It said, agriculture. And this speaks to the heart of what you do every day. Agriculture is really the foundation for commerce and for manufacturing. You know, it usually starts with a raw product or a natural resource, but when we see a product, whether it's on the shelf or whether we're wearing it, you know, it's probably touched by a farmer, it was probably touched by a rancher, it was probably processed by a rancher, and it was probably manufactured by a rancher to some degree. So we're trying to bring those opportunities to rural communities, and that's our charge, is to create these economic opportunities. Let me kind of give you some background, some changes that are occurring, some trends that are occurring across rural America that I think you would be interested in and to know this kind of information. Ag policy and obviously rural policy are not synonymous. Back in 2001, Secretary Veneman really began to look at this issue and develop policy and a framework for a discussion about ag policy and rural development policy, and that was called agriculture and really food policy, taking stock in the new century. But as you look at the population of this country, you look at 280 million, 25% of these people and families live in rural areas. I mean, 60 million people and families are living in rural America. Historically, when you look at Title I and Title II programs, there's been about 2 million farmers and ranchers that have utilized those programs. The other 58 million families or people living in rural areas are becoming more and more dependent upon programs like rural economic development programs. You know, and as rural development, as we sit here and as we have this dialogue, rural development is being responsive, whether it be with energy policy and the president's energy policy, whether it be renewable energy, whether it be value-added agriculture. And the way I see value-added agriculture impacting rural areas, it is creating new markets. It is creating more economic diversity in rural areas. It's creating jobs. And the bottom line is it's impacting your bottom line as a farmer or rancher, and it's increasing the income and bringing more wealth to rural communities. You know, to cite a couple of examples in terms of whether it's value-added agriculture or we're talking about renewable energy, I'll share with you there's an example in Benson, Minnesota. And it's an ethanol production facility that we were involved in to some degree in terms of our grant site. And as you look at that and you look at that community, it was kind of a community that was struggling. It was a community that was probably losing hope and was in despair, but these opportunities became available by utilizing some of these programs. And as a result, what you had was an ethanol production facility that impacted that community and was having a rippling effect throughout that economy. I'll give you an example. Rooftops started popping up, jobs started being created, and the expansion of the new wing in the hospital. Those were all trends that at one time sliding, they were now reversed and going in a positive direction. And obviously, you know, the tax bases were being impacted in that rural community. The schools were being impacted, and the quality of health care was being impacted. So you go on with several examples. Wheat farmers in Oklahoma. This is a value-added producer grant program. 900 wheat farmers, red wheat, were looking for creating a new market opportunity. So what they did was come to USDA Rural Development, look at our value-added producer grant program, were able to actually obtain a grant and begin to really develop the framework for a new market. They then were able to obtain what we call a B&I loan, or business industry loan, from our rural development program. But these are the kind of things, the exciting things that I see for rural America and for rural development as we begin to engage in these kind of discussions. I will tell you that you know, the three key things that I just mentioned, the things about value-added agriculture and the things about 906, the renewable energy component, and the other one that was a provision in the Farm Bill Broadband Program, are all going to be essential tools for rural communities. They're going to compete both domestically and globally. They're going to help you create those new market opportunities. They're going to help create those new jobs. You know, in terms of what is rural development, are they taking a leadership role? There's no doubt in my mind that we are. As one of our new taglines, we went out and did a major marketing rollout, and Al Johnson and some partners, they're sitting in this room. Like most of you, did not know who rural development was. Most people weren't aware of what the programs that we deliver to rural communities. So about a year ago, we started doing a branding initiative, a marketing initiative to roll out. If you asked our local staff across the country, if you asked them what percent through focus groups knew about rural development programs, they said 70% of you knew about rural development. When I saw a show of hands, there might have been a couple of hands that actually raised their hands. We went back and did the focus groups on the user side, meaning the families, the people sitting in this room, and the bankers and the people that need to use our programs. It was less than 2% that knew who rural development was and what we did. This branding initiative, thanks to Al and his team effort, has really put the face on rural development and building awareness of the types of programs we do have. So this is an outreach effort in that same regard. You are obviously one of our stakeholders as we see it, and obviously we are impacting your programs as we see it. We need that input. We want you to look at rural development as a partner in the future, whether it be value-added producer grants, whether it be 906. We'd like for you to, as you begin your policy discussions and your dialogue, to think about rural development and the role it's playing. We'd like for you to think, and you know this best than I do, that agriculture is changing, the dynamics are changing, and then we can help a key part, whether it be value-added agriculture, whether it be energy, in terms of energy production, or whether it be broadband capabilities. We are playing a key part. And folks, we can't do this by ourselves. And we need partners like yourself, the commodity groups, And, you know, we've had some outreach efforts with the corn growers. I can share with you that. And they've embraced rural development in terms of its impact, and they understand the role it's playing in rural communities. And, you know, it's interesting, yesterday I met a gentleman from up in the Panhandle somewhere, and Brian helped me out here, but I know it was Donald, and an interesting thing, Brian and I were standing up, and what was really refreshing was this gentleman said, I believe the last name was Brown, but this gentleman, you know, after he found out what we did and how he did it, he said, you know, we live in a small town up in North Texas, and we really want to spur new economic activity. Because my dad's been thinking about, he's a rancher up in that part of the country, that part of the state, and he said he's really looking at trying to really spur entrepreneurship. And when he found out the depth and breadth of these programs, he really said, you know, it was refreshing to really see that there's some leadership in these local communities that's really making a difference and looking out for the future. Now, I'll close with you this, and I was talking about a marketing initiative, but I've been here for the last 3.5 years, and I know you're familiar with this group, and it's a fine youth group, and probably the finest I've seen. And it's FFAers, you know, and I think back about the last 3.5 years, and I've mentored kids before, mostly young men, because they were kind of getting ready to, and struggling with at-risk and education when I was here in San Antonio. And I got to see some of those kids graduate, and some of them didn't graduate. But the interesting thing, when I was exposed to FFA, and I'll tell you how I was exposed to FFA, over the last 3.5 years, you would have national officers that would actually come to Washington, D.C. And they would have, it would be an officer that would spend half a day with me. You know, and to be quite honest with you, as I sat and I listened, and I listened, and despite the busyness that we had and the jobs that we had, I listened to them, and I think I really learned something more from them than they did from me. That time that we got to spend together was quality time. Each time, there was about 4 times that I actually had different national officers. It was this past April that an FFAer from Ohio came to me, and we sat there and we talked, and we spent good quality time together. And one of the things she said, you know, she goes, Mr. Gonzalez, she said, you know, we really do want to stay in small towns. We really do want to live where our families live. And, you know, but opportunities aren't there. You know, they really aren't there. And so we go to the metropolitan areas, we go to the urban areas, we work. But we like the quality of life. And if there was an opportunity, we'd stay in that community. She goes, so what can we do? Rural development. And it sounds like you have a passion for young men and women in terms of, you know, their futures. What can we do? And so she challenged me in terms of what we can do and what we could do. It was back in June when she shot me an email and she said, you know, have you put much thought into it? She kicked around some ideas. I kicked around some ideas. And I said, you know, and I believe her name was Karen, and I said, it's interesting that you bring that up because our new marketing effort, our new tagline says we're committed to the future of rural communities. And it says that on our packaging. If you came in, you grabbed one of these, it says committed to the future of rural communities. And as I said that, I said, well, let's put our money where our mouth is in terms of who is the future. You know, it's you sitting in here, it's the youth, it's your children. As I see it, is the future of rural communities. You want to maintain that quality and that character of rural life? I said, we can help do that. So her and I had this discussion, but what this ended up and resulted in was really a partnership with FFA in terms of their entrepreneurship program and their marketing programs. And when I went, and I'll tell you that not being as exposed to FFA prior to that other than the last 3 years, but I went to Louisville and I went to the national convention this past October. I was amazed at the talent that was in FFA. I was amazed at the discipline that was in FFA and the students and the focus that some of these kids had. And I judged some of the AgriStar awards, I believe that's the business awards category, and how focused some of these young men and women were. And I was impressed. So the partnership is going to bring what I hope opportunity to these young men and women. It's going to keep them in rural communities where they want to stay. And to me, that's what rural development is all about. It's about creating economic opportunity. It's about not just programs. It's about families, it's about your children, it's about men and women that want to stay there. So we need your help. You know, we know the impact you have across this country. We understand the impact that you have. And we cannot do this in any kind of single manner. It has to be a collective effort. And I can say from my experience of working with this president, he's committed to an ownership society. Again, whether you're a rancher, farmer, or small business, he's committed to improving your quality of life and everybody's quality of life in rural communities. Sure, we have some challenges. I can tell you front and center, one of my biggest challenges is going to be deploying broadband in rural communities. It's not an easy task. It's something since I've been acting since last December. has been the most challenging thing I've ever experienced in my entire life. And it's because of the dynamics that are occurring in technology that make it so challenging. And for our agency to have to just really be working alongside the market, the private sector, to be able to deliver an effective program to the taxpayers. And that's what it's all about. But I can tell you that you've got a team here, you've got a team in Washington, you've got a team in each one of your states, and you've got Brian Daniels and 46 other states. We've got political appointees, presidential appointees in every state that you represent here. And we've got offices, rural development offices that are in every state. We've got 6,000 employees that are responsible for administering a $14 million annual budget, or $1 billion budget. And I've got to say that, you know, if you look at our look at the period of time since 1996, our salary and expense line has been relatively flat, if you track that. Our program funding has gone from about $6 billion to about $14 billion and since 1996 to 2004. And we're delivering it. If you're familiar with budget authority, just the cost of being able to operate programs like that, that's remained flat. You know, if you look at budget authority, it's remained flat. If you look at a program level, it's shot up, and it's shot up at least, you know, over 50%, over 100%. It's from a $6 billion program to a $14 billion program. And again, I'd be glad to take any questions and answer any questions that you may have. But again, I'm glad to be at the Cattlemen's Convention here. I'm glad to be the fact that you picked San Antonio, and looking forward to working with the National Cattlemen's and other groups like yourself. So, Colin, thank you for having us, and all the officers of NCA. Thank you for having us here in San Antonio. Appreciate it. Thank you. God bless you.